שיעור מספר 6.
Lesson number 6.
חיים בגדלות המורה.
Living in the greatness of the creator.
אחד.
Excerpt number 1.
עיקר עבודת האדם.
The essence of man's work is only to come to feel the existence of the creator.
שהבורא ממלא את כל העולם.
That the creator fills the whole world.
וזה נקרא אמונת הבורא.
This is called faith in the creator.
זאת אומרת, הרגשה ש...
meaning a feeling that the creator fills the whole of reality is called faith in the creator.
בעולם שלנו זה לא אותו.
In our world it's not the same thing. In our world feeling is one thing and believing is another thing. I believe something that I don't feel. If I feel it, I feel it. I know it. But believing is something that is not in my mind or in my heart. It's something I assume. Here, it is not so. The feeling that the Creator fills everything is called faith in the Creator. And he should make every effort to achieve this, the sensation of the Creator, the feeling of the Creator, and for nothing else. And he should not be misled into having to acquire anything else besides this. And all the reward that he will be given is precisely this faith in the Creator, meaning the feeling that the Creator fills the whole of reality. So from this we should understand only one thing, that faith means a feeling in corrected vessels, you know, to an extent that there is no doubt about it, and it's called faith because we attain the Creator through the force of Bina, the force of bestowal. That's why it's called faith. And it's not reason, knowledge. It's faith above reason. Reason or knowledge is in Malchut. Faith is in Bina. And all of my work, all of my efforts that I do are only in order to come to this reality that the Creator fills everything, surrounds everything, and I feel it through my force of bestowal according to the equivalence of form with Him. This is called in Kelim, vessels of faith. Number 2. Right, for now, write down questions. All our work to emerge from enslavement in the will to receive for ourselves, our ego, and be able to perform acts of bestowal, to bring contentment to the Creator, and to do it with love, is by feeling His greatness, His exaltedness, meaning to the extent that I feel the exaltedness of the Creator, to that extent I can bestow upon Him. And my bestowal upon Him will be sensed in me as the reward. Meaning the greatness of the Creator is a necessary condition for bestowal upon Him to be sensed in me as reception from Him. And all our pleasure from serving the Creator will be our reward. This is all the pleasure. What do I enjoy? I enjoy giving to the Creator. What is the reward? Giving to the Creator. And I will not want any other reward, because the work itself in this way becomes the reward. This is called achieving perpetual, constant dvikut, adhesion, where you become attached to bestowal, and it becomes in you the biggest pleasure. And he cannot get rid of it and abstain from it. But only in, and he sees pleasure only in the quality of bestowal. Here we have to discern that it is not he's not bestowing in order to receive pleasure, but rather bestowal in itself is for him pleasure, without anything that returns to him in any way. Write down questions. Excerpt number 3. The main thing we need is the importance of the goal. We don't know how to appreciate our service for the Creator. It seems to us that we are bestowing. So we will know to whom we are bestowing. Meaning, the importance of the work of the Creator, the importance of the goal, appreciation of our service for the Creator, is according to our appreciation of Him, to whom we are bestowing. And what we need is the awareness of the greatness of the Creator, so we will know how happy we are that we have been granted with serving Him. So again, everything is measured according to the greatness of the Creator in our eyes, because we cannot understand anything about His greatness. We just can't. We have no tools to sense His greatness. And this is called Shekhinah, divinity in the dust. When the matter of bestowal upon the Creator is as important to us as dust. And therefore, we have no fuel for the work of bestowal upon Him, which is our work. We can't. The Creator gives us this feeling that we cannot bestow upon Him. We have no energy, no importance. Why? So that we will begin to work on appreciating Him, on knowing His greatness. Only to the extent that we have greatness will we be able to bestow, and the bestowal will be as the reward. Number
4.
In order to have fuel for the work, in order to bestow, and not receive any reward, but the work itself will be the reward. We must believe in the greatness of the Creator. What does it mean that we need to? To believe in the greatness of the Creator. We already said what faith in the Creator means. A sensation that He fills everything. And we must make great efforts to obtain faith in the greatness of the Creator, to discover that He fills the whole world. And without faith in the greatness of the Creator, there is no power to work on bestowal. Precisely when we feel the greatness of the Creator, are we willing to work without any reward? Instead, the work itself is the reward. Since serving a great king is the same for him, and that fact that the Creator gives him permission to come in and serve him, this is already the biggest possible reward that can be for him if he obtains the greatness of the Creator. This is why we have to focus all of our thoughts on achieving a sensation of the greatness of the Creator. And then everything follows that point. We don't need anything else. If I feel that the Creator fills the whole of reality, I am annulled, cancelled. I'm willing to do anything that I'm required to do. And whatever I do will be easy for me to do, pleasurable. In itself, it will be the reward. It all depends on the importance. And importance of the Creator is present in the society. This is why we must agree among us how we talk among us about the greatness of the Creator. Abash writes about it in his articles about society, that everything depends on the importance that the friends give me about our spiritual work. And accordingly, I can yearn, I can chase bestowal, I can do anything, so long as I have greatness of the Creator that I receive from the group, that is more than my own, than the greatness of myself. Because it's like a machine. I work like a machine. Where there is more fuel, more importance, there I necessarily exert myself. So here's where we have to determine the times when we talk about the greatness of the Creator, the greatness of the goal, the greatness of the friends, how bestowal upon the Creator can be to us as a reward, as a prize. And it gives us joy and pleasure if we appreciate Him. And if I have to perform an act of bestowal, but I don't feel an urge to do it, a pleasure, it's a sign I have no greatness of the Creator. It's very simple. It all depends on the importance. We see this with a mother and her baby. The baby may cry all night long, and she sits next to him. And she can't go to sleep. She can't let herself go to sleep, although she's exhausted. But the love controls. It's the same here. This is why it all depends on the society, and this is what we have to cultivate. The friends should primarily speak together about the greatness of the Creator. Excerpt number 6. Because according to the greatness of the Creator that one assumes, to that extent, he naturally annuls himself, capable of annulling himself naturally before the Creator. It turns out that by the friends speaking of the exaltedness of the Creator, by this a desire and craving to annul before the Creator awakens. Because he begins to feel yearning and longing for the friends and for the Creator. It all depends on what they say, on the influence of the environment, on a person, whatever the environment says. In the end, I accept this is how we're all built, because we're all from the system of Adam HaRishon, when we were all connected. And therefore, although afterwards we disconnected from one another, That same force of society above us acts. So if we talk about it, I too attribute to this importance. Here we should remember that to the extent that the friends can appreciate the importance of the Creator, we should still go above reason, meaning add as much as they may speak and as much as the greatness of the Creator is even higher than they, meaning that the Creator is higher than what a person can assume is greatness in his mind. Meaning that we should believe above reason that he leads the world in the manner of good and doing good. And if a person believes that the Creator wants only man's benefit, this makes a person love the Creator until he is rewarded with, "And you will love the Lord your God with all your heart." Now, I want to hear questions. And afterwards, we'll continue. We read only 6 excerpts. Yes, please. If you don't want to, then we will ask our musicians to sing us a lullaby. Okay, some uplifting tune.
Collect the hearts, turn coming on we stand, holding hand in hand. The new future we, the new future we, the new future we ride.
Oh, hello, Rav. I'm Melissa. I'm from Louisiana. This is my first Congress. Yes. So my question was, how do you get to the greatness of Creator? And how do you keep the greatness of Creator in your heart or mind?
It's very simple. And actually, discovering the Creator is the simplest thing. He fills all of reality. We are inside of Him. What's so difficult to discover? It's because we're not paying attention to Him. Does it ever happen to you that something is right in front of you and you didn't notice it? It just went by you? Yeah? And then when you focus on that thing, you go, oh, I see it. It's really here. Yeah? Is there such a thing?
I don't know what I'm asking.
Did it?
But how do you get there?
Did you hear what I said? What did I say?
He's everywhere.
And besides that, what is it like in our world that we sometimes notice something or don't notice something?
You pay attention.
What does it mean that we notice? We focus our desire on that thing. So the same goes for the Creator. If we want to find Him, we have to focus our desire on Him. That I want to notice specifically Him. If He fills everything, that I have to feel everywhere where He is, what he does behind the scenes. He does everything behind the scenes. So we have the still, vegetative, animate, and people in this reality. And I cannot detect Him because He is hiding behind them. How do I discover the Creator behind this whole reality? This is why the wisdom of Kabbalah is called the wisdom of the hidden. Because it reveals what is hidden, and what is hidden is the Creator. That's it. Now, in order to discover Him, I have to focus all of my attention on the fact that He is present behind every single thing. How do we do this? I can't. I'm confused among all kinds of things in this world. Look, there are men here, there are women, there are kids, there is my job, family, all kinds of... Where am I? How can I concentrate on someone that I can't feel? They say, you have friends. You have to talk among yourselves. You have to impress one another about the Creator being hidden and to remind each other that He is hidden to such an extent that you will constantly be hearing the Creator this, the Creator that. It's He's running it. He's doing it. Everywhere, it's only he.
Him.
If I hear it all the time from the friends. There is no chance I will forget it, because they will constantly be instilling this in my brain. So the whole problem is the society. It must bring me to a state where I constantly think the Creator is great. He is everywhere. He surrounds everything, fills everything. There is none else besides Him. He's not bad. He's good and does good. I see bad because only because it goes through my vessels of reception, which are opposite from Him. If I constantly hear these things from the friends, there is no doubt that within a very short time, I will come to a state where I feel Him. It all depends only on the environment. I'm done.
Thank you, Rob.
I'm not sure she heard it. Are you sure you heard it? Okay. Yes.
Hi, Rav. I'm Niall from Hong Kong, and I'm a KBU student. And the question I have is about the morning lesson.
Shamanu aleicha kvar.
Yeah, we heard about you.
Yeah. Let's see. Right. So my question is about in a state of descent, in a state of sort of disconnection, we have, at least when I, one thing that I see upon self-scrutiny and self-examination, it always comes up, is two self-centered desires. And the first one is sort of wanting to get out of a state of descent to stop the pain of being in descent, and also to achieve self-advancement for sort of my own freedom, my own growth or whatever. And so my question is, firstly, are these two desires egoistic? And secondly, how should I use them in relation with the group?
Both of those desires are disqualified. You don't want to use them at all. What did you say the first desire was? To come out, to emerge?
Is it sort of stop, just end the suffering, personal suffering of dissent and frustration and
this and that?
You'll get even bigger suffering. Meaning, not coming out. Anything but leave. Instead, you have to connect it to the Creator. Every state you're in, try as hard as you can to imagine that it's connected to the Creator. And the Creator is holding it and fixes it and does everything. The Creator does everything. If you connect your situation with the Creator, you will immediately begin to feel mitigation in it, relief, to the point that you say, I don't care what I feel as long as it comes from the Creator. It's great that it comes from the Creator, and it's actually great that it comes in this unpleasant way. Because if a good feeling were to come from the Creator, I would think that I'm attached to the Creator because of the good feeling. But because it's unpleasant feeling, and yet I want to be attached to the Creator, and I prefer to stay in the unpleasant feeling as long as I'm adhere to the Creator. Oh, so now I appreciate the presence of the Creator, the connection with the Creator. Great, I've made progress. Meaning, my situation is not bad. It's good. Why is it good? Not because I feel good, but because I feel the dvikut, the adhesion with the Creator. So I'm already in spirituality. Meaning the fact that I felt a bad situation, brought on me the good, real situation that I enjoy, not because my beast is enjoying. But because the human in me, the one that wants to resemble the Creator, this is what enjoys. And the beast is not. It doesn't have to enjoy. I don't need it. It's not necessary for me that it'll enjoy. Okay? Good.
Thank you.
Hi, Rav. My name is Aline. I'm from São Paulo, Brazil. And this is my second Congress. I was in Israel. How it is possible that a person says that her life is good, she sees Creator in everything, and even if she feels darkness and some blows, she feels that it happens so fast that it is like it didn't even happen. Does it mean that she has achieved the greatness of the Creator?
I'm not sure. I don't understand the situation itself. Is she happy or not?
Yeah.
A lot.
Tov lo.
Good.
She is happy, yes?
Yes.
She feels good?
Yes.
Good. So what's the question? Feeling good from what? From what is she feeling good? Because the beast enjoys or the soul enjoys?
The soul.
How does she know who is enjoying in her? I enjoy. So I may enjoy because I tasted something good, or I may enjoy because I received what I tasted from someone very important, and I enjoy this. How do you know from what you enjoy? That's the difference between the two worlds.
I mean, constant feeling of gratitude related to all the states.
You enjoy everything and anything?
Maybe.
It means a person is not really healthy. How can it be that a person enjoys everything? Then how do you distinguish between different things if you enjoy everything?
This is my question.
I
don't know. I never felt it. I can't tell you. In short, a person should scrutinize what is the source of his pleasure, what is the source of his suffering. And according to this, he will decide what to do. That's it.
Okay. Thank you. Obrigado.
Come to Israel.
Hi, Rob. Thank you, first off. My question is, what's the right way to create this importance in the 10? How do we influence a friend that's not feeling the Creator with the importance of the Creator if he's in a state such as that? Makes sense.
Again, I didn't understand.
How do we, in the 10...
We just talk about it. I'm in a society. Creator, no creator, I don't care. All of a sudden, they keep talking around me about the Creator is great, important, He does everything, surrounds everything, everything depends on Him. Everything runs according to the plan of creation, the purpose of creation, and there are no mistakes there. There can be no deviations from it. And little me hears what they're saying. It impresses me. And then I begin to want to be in this, to take it into account that I too will begin to think that. The influence of the environment. I can't run away from it. If they keep saying this all the time, there's no doubt I will think about it. I will think like they do, for sure. It's how we're built. Yes?
Thank you.
You cannot have thoughts, desires, passions, goals in life that are different from those in society. Impossible. Unless you have a special reshimo, and in all of your environment, there are no people who yearn for the wisdom of Kabbalah, and you suddenly do yearn for it. This can happen, but that's from the root of the soul. And besides this, a person is dependent entirely on the environment.
Okay, I do have another question. Is that okay? Follow-up? Sorry. How do we prevent frivolity from entering the group and keeping us from influencing the ten in the correct way?
For this, we have to be responsible. Don't rely on the friends having a good desire and they'll always speak, you know, positively and will think well. Instead, there have to be gabai in shots, a messenger of the public and people responsible. And these people who are responsible, they have to see that the group thinks correctly, so that there is the right spirit in society, prayers about the greatness of the Creator, that they are organized. All of that should be in the society, and they have to do these duties in roster, either the shots or the gabbai, the messenger of the public or the collector of the public. That's what it's called.
Thank you.
We have to organize the society. Without organizing the society, nothing will come out. I know people who have been years with us, but the environment is not organized. So everything falls between their fingers. Just like that.
Hold tight. been shedding every battle, every thought, all the truth that you've been craving, all the people you forgot, all those bridges you've been burning, all the promises you left unchecked. This may sound completely crazy, pretty soon they will connect. Hold tight, each moment. Hold tight, each moment. Watch the heavens open up.
From Delaware. This is my first Congress. Started last May. So this is the 1 year anniversary of being a KABU student online.
Shana.
1 year?
1 year. I think I made some progress. My question is, if you could explain what Shekhinah in the dust is.
It is when we have no respect for the Creator. The Creator, Bore, means Bore, come and see. Something I can detect. I call it Bore. Bore, come and see. Where do I see it? Only within my desire. Just like this whole world, what am I seeing? I am seeing what comes into my tools of perception, into my desire. That's the only way. You can ask psychologists or physicists. So, what I detect, I see within my desire. This is why the Creator, Boe, is called Boe, come and see. When we direct our desires in such a way that we can detect Him, see Him, come and see. The feeling of the Creator consists of two parts. My desire. My desire is called the Shekhinah. It's a desire that can reveal the Creator. It is aiming directly at feeling Him. And then when I discover the Creator within that desire called Shekhinah, I call Him Shochen, Dweller. In the wisdom of Kabbalah, there are many words that seem odd, but they are very precise. They constantly explain to us exactly the act, the purpose of the act, the reason of the act, the result from it. That's it. In a very simple and accurate way. Clear? The dweller is the Creator who dwells, and the Shekhinah is the place where He dwells, where He is revealed. Or my corrected desire is called the Shekhinah, and what I discover in my corrected desire, the Creator is called the Shochen, the Dweller.
Thank you. That song.
Good luck.
Was my story. I thank you for that. Thanks.
Shalom, Rab. Shalom, Chabrim. Rab, my question is, you said that when we work on bestowal, there's no reward whatsoever for us. And yet, you said that when we have the greatness of the Creator, we feel the pleasure of serving Him. So how do we conciliate these two things?
אבל אנחנו לא...
But we don't serve Him in order to get pleasure. But when I serve Him and the pleasure becomes revealed, I should check then, am I serving in order to get the pleasure? Or is the pleasure that manifests is like a byproduct, so to speak? It only indicates that I am bestowing upon Him out of love. Let's say I look at a woman. She is tending to her baby. She may tend to him out of love. Let's say it's the mother. Or she may tend to him because she's paid to do it. How do I know? This is how we should check ourselves, to advance toward the real work. To clean ourselves up from a feeling that I am acting only for reward. We have to think about it. And what's most important here is if you receive from the society the greatness of the Creator. The society should constantly tell you about the greatness of the Creator, and then you won't go wrong.
Thank you. Ma'am?
Ma'am?
Please.
Please.
You're trying to break up our love affair. They told me I have to go specifically to the question and no other conversation with you, so I'm sorry.
Veneno.
Between us?
The whole group, the world clean. I just started this Congress. Okay, the question is, in our environment, is we're separated from the discoverer of the greatness of the Creator. Is that correct?
Can you repeat that again?
The sanctity, the separation, the Israel is to discover the greatness of the Creator among us, correct?
No. Israel,
no. Israel means those who yearn for the Creator. A desire that fell from above, that's preparation from the upper world, that is in the will to receive now. It's like a spark. And it is pulling a person to get to know the Creator. It's what you feel that you are missing, specifically this. This is called having a spark of Israel within you. She writes down everything. Look at her. This is a student. Right, write some more. Let them look.
So in our environment, I guess I'm not phrasing it properly, but I know the purpose of our environment, us being together, is the greatness of the Creator.
Ken.
We talk about
yes.
That.
No. Being together is being together. I know what it means. There are many friends who want to be together. It's got nothing to do with the greatness of the Creator. It's about being together.
Okay, so I'm still not getting there. All right, so the separation, our purpose as students of Kabbalah is the discovery of the greatness of the Creator.
Ken?
Yes. Yes, wait. What for?
That's a good question.
In order to have the strength through the greatness of the Creator, from the greatness of the Creator, I'll have the strength to give to Him. If He is great, then to the extent of His greatness, I give to Him and I get pleasure. Now I check. Am I giving to Him in order to receive the pleasure? Or do I want Him to be great in my eyes only so I can give to Him, so I have the strength to give Him, so I will enjoy the giving and I will therefore be able to give? What will I have? What will I get from giving Him? I'll begin to feel what it means to give. And then I'll begin to feel what it means to be the Creator. So now we are similar. Now, in the quality that I have to give, and the quality that He has to give, in that we become partners, close, to the point that we feel ourselves as one. And this is the goal, to achieve dvikut, adhesion.
Thank you.
Hello, Av. Hello, World Kli. Avi, Banglit.
I can't find myself in the system with the years I've been studying with you. So I want to know if it's right or I need to go to the cuckoo hospital. wake up in the morning.
We'll see. Let's decide on this together. If you needed to go there, we'll take you along. We'll take you there.
So, wake up in the morning, first thing. Thank you, Creator, for giving me one more chance to pray for the friends. Then we go and I use everything outside in the corporate world that hurts, that gets a letter from the IRS. Doesn't matter what, it reminds me to pray for the friends. And then...
Wait a minute. What's the connection between the IRS and the friends? Oh, you want them to pull you out of it?
No. I don't care about that. I just care for something to remind me to pray for the friends. So...
Good. In other words, you're happy that you received a letter from the IRS?
Yes.
Because now you have a reason to pray to the friends.
Okay.
Good. And it doesn't matter what the outcome is, as long as now you have a reason.
Exactly. Now, we went through those excerpts we were reading, and... I don't really understand any of it. Okay? But what I do, I take it as a I pray for the that that will be realized for the friends. I don't care for me nothing. Send me to the Azazel. I want the friends to read spiritual whatever you they are reading in the excerpt, and actually make a sidur, make a prayer book from your explanations. That that will happen to the friends.
And you don't care about anything.
Me, take my life.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Why are you done so fast?
Because I want them to receive all Malchut Shamayim. I want them to have the light of Purim.
Why
do you care about that?
Because they are me.
In other words, I want them all to receive because it's to me it's the same as me receiving.
Exactly.
It's like saying they're your kids, whatever they receive and enjoy, this is your pleasure.
No. I want them to receive to give their creator content.
And you have nothing to do with it. To go to hell. You want hell to enjoy you.
Whatever, as long as my friends. As King David said, for the sake of my friends, Adam Vashalom.
I have nothing to say. Beautiful. The friends enjoy, the Creator enjoys, hell enjoys too. And it's all from one person. No. What for? Keep going. Everyone's enjoying it.
This is Tiffany and Beth from St. Louis. When in darkness, from the earlier lesson, how do I go to the tent for help without bringing negativity and to get the increased importance and greatness of the Creator? How do I do this?
Again, please.
When in darkness, when we're exploring the darkness, how do we then go to the tent for help without bringing negativity? We can't talk about that in the tent. And we only talk about the importance, the greatness of the Creator. But how do I not burn the group with the negativity because darkness is difficult?
I don't tell them how I feel the darkness. It's forbidden to do that. I ask them for help, the greatness of the Creator. So they will bestow it upon me. Only good things. Only the greatness of the Creator. That's all I need. And then I add it to my darkness, the greatness of the Creator. This is my Malchut. There, first nine. I have a beautiful kli. Okay? Good luck. She's doing great, this woman.
Eugene from New York. I have two questions, one from Denise from Moscow and one from my own. So Denise is asking, you said that we need to set aside time for friends in the tent to talk about greatness of the Creator. When to do it and for how long?
Everyone must be alert to constantly maintain the greatness of the Creator, the greatness of the friends in the group, the greatness of the goal, the greatness of the path, anything that has to do with attainment of the purpose. It needs to be constantly high up above all the disturbances that can even come.
And the second question This minimum connection, is this when I, to the Creator, is this when I say, oh, it's coming from the Creator, that's the connection to the Creator? And what is the difference between connection to the Creator and the connection to the Ten?
The Creator is what's revealed in the Ten. There is no Creator without a Ten. Such a thing does not exist. We're talking about what can be revealed or what is revealed. So the Creator can be felt only in the Ten. Only. Because He created it. All of reality is only one Ten. He created all of reality with His light. Hence, through the Ten, we can reveal Him. A small Ten, a great Ten, a Ten that advances. And in this way, it discovers the Creator. Only in this way. Without Ten discernments, we cannot discover the Creator.
So me thinking that way is called a connection to the Creator?
The fact that you're thinking about it is not connection. The fact that you care about it happening, this then connection will be.
Thank you.
Все мои качества плохие, это, конечно, от Творца. Хорошие тоже от Творца.
All of my qualities all come from the Creator, both the good and the bad.
Все мои действия и все результаты это тоже Творец.
All of my actions and the outcomes to those actions are also the Creator.
Вся система, которую мы постигаем, изучаем, включаемся в товарищи, все их желания, это тоже Творец.
This whole system that we study, that we integrate with the connection with the friends, it's also the Creator.
То, что было создано Творцом.
Everything that was created by the Creator.
Что же является, что такое я, которое является независимо от Творца?
Then who is me? What is me that's independent of the Creator?
She forgot to say that even what she's saying right now is also the Creator. So who am I? I am the point of disconnection from there is none else besides Him that fills everything, does everything, and nevertheless provided that black point disconnected from Him, seemingly. So, with respect to this point, relative to it, we can feel ourselves separate from Him. And that's why we seemingly exist. It's only thanks to this black point. So, the Creator did it on purpose, and He's called Creator Bore for that. Bore Choshech, Creator of darkness. Separation from Him.
То есть вот эта черная точка это и есть я сущность этой черной точки. Что это такое?
So if this black point is me, that's what I am. What is the essence of this black point?
This black point is not me. It's merely giving me the feeling of separation from the Creator. The I that build myself above the point of separation by resembling the Creator, specifically thanks to the point of separation, I'm removed from Him, I'm opposite from Him, and I make myself similar to Him. Meaning this point of separation is extremely important because without it, I will not be a creature. I will be swallowed by the Creator, and that's it.
Thank you.
Hello, Rob. This is my question. If a person feels the need to experience bestowal to the Creator, but is not feeling joy, can that person overcome the lack of emotional joy by going forward in faith and finding joy in his faith that he's going forward?
Let us make a simple calculation. Each and every moment we acquire a new sensation. We are confused, understand more, understand less, feel more, we feel less. We grow tired, we can't understand anything, and we don't want to feel anything. All those states, one thing is written about them. Anything but leave. Anything but quit. And everything passes, and it brings a person. Each and every state brings a person to the purpose. Slowly. You cannot change anything. And no one here can. However, what you are doing is accelerating the path of your development. And in this acceleration, you feel good. If a little less or slower, you feel bad. That is all. Hence, everything depends on the extent to which you try to increase the greatness of the goal. And then accordingly, you are drawn to it. That's it.
What I use for my own daily life, I don't experience a lot of joy. I do get joy from time to time, but I don't experience a lot of joy. And if I wait to feel joy to want to bestow onto the Creator, I'll probably wait my entire life. So in order to sidestep that situation, I say, well, if I go forward doing the work that He wants me to do, in spite of the pain that I'm feeling and not feeling the joy, my going forward would be an act of bestowal onto Him. And then I can find contentment in the pain that He's bestowing upon me because I'm going forward and I'm making an act of bestowal upon Him. No. Can you break that down for me, please?
Everything is incorrect. You can't cry and give the Creator pleasure. It's impossible. It's incorrect. You are lying to yourself. You must reach pleasure. The purpose of creation is pleasure. Good in abundance.
I desperately want that for my brothers and our women as well, but year after year I don't have a guy. What should I do? I'm frustrated here. I don't know how to rectify this situation.
I know. I know you from a long time. This is not our first time. The thing is, you need to know exactly in what way are you delighting the Creator? And it cannot go hand in hand with a feeling of sorrow that's in you. You have an incorrect evaluation of the state. The more I suffer, it's considered I'm bestowing against my desire. No.
My perception of my suffering is my problem. If I could... the Creator is giving it to me. How can I rejoice in the fact that he's giving me this uncomfortable feeling? I want to be in joy with that. You know, in spite of the pain, it's like Kabbalists have attained it. I want to attain it. I want my brothers and our women to attain it. You know, I know I can't get an answer to this question. I have to pull back the layers of the
answer.
There is an answer, and I've replied several times.
I know, I'm just at a degree where I can hear you.
That's also incorrect. That's what you're telling yourself, that you can't enjoy, you can't hear, your life is like that. You enjoy, you delight in your suffering. That's not good in the eyes of the Creator. He created everything to delight His creatures. You're saying, I will enjoy the suffering. How can that be? It's incorrect. It's wrong. You should not agree with it, because it's a lie. It cannot be that the will to receive will receive a blow and say, oh, what pleasure. Give me more, please. It cannot be. There's an internal lie inside. You have to discover it. There are such heroes, seemingly heroes. They want to show that they live in suffering and in torment, and they enjoy it. They can overcome the suffering. You don't need to overcome the suffering. And it's written about it in many of our sources. No. We need to enjoy ourselves. The thing is very simple. You say that I can't explain. Let me try. Not that I will receive bad from the Creator and say, I receive bad, and it's bad, and I don't care about it. I'm doing something above it. That's incorrect. You need to receive good from the Creator. He is the good who does good only. So I have to change myself in order to feel that I receive from Him only good. I have to change myself. And you're saying, no, let it be so, let me suffer. I'll continue this way. And in my suffering, I somehow show Him that I'm working in bestowal. You're not working in bestowal. Change yourself in order to feel that you are in His world, the good world of the good Creator.
Thank you for that. I needed that. Thank you.
He's a veteran student of ours. Very. Last question and then Chaim. Chaim come up or last question?
No.
Okay, quickly.
This is a question from our friends who are watching us right now in Koblevo, in Kiev. They've assembled for a huge mirror congress. And the friend's question is this. We use the ego to fight the ego, and I feel that the desire to attain the force of bestowal is also egoism, and this contradiction confuses me very much.
There are those who enjoy in their ego. There are those who suffer in their ego. If we wish to identify with the Creator, we need to rise above the ego and enjoy in rising above it and enjoying that same, in the same way that the Creator enjoys it. That's it. Tell that to Kiev. Yes, sir. I'm very happy to invite to the stage A man that everything that you are reading in English came under these hands.
You don't have to stand up. Okay, so I'm really happy. I mean, really happy to present the new book.
Of course, if I would be received this way.
So I'm really happy to present the new books that we have this year because they really cover all of our learning material, and it brings us to a situation where we are pretty much covered as far as textbooks are concerned, as far as lesson materials are concerned. The first two books are the final two volumes of the writings of Rabash. There is a part in the writings of Rabash that is called the Dargot Notes. Rabash wrote various notes throughout the years, and it's all collected in the third volume in Hebrew, but it's more pages in English, naturally. So now we have that third volume, and that covers the complete writings of Rav Baruch Shalom Halevi Ashlag. Rav Lightman's teacher. Also, I'm sure you noticed that they always say that you go to the writings of Bala Sulam, page this and that, page this and that, and there's no such thing in English, so you have to go click the link. Hopefully you'll find it, maybe you won't. It's not going to happen anymore, all right? When they go to the writings of Bala Sulam, yeah, it's these now. These are the writings of Bala Sulam. It really does have everything, except for the Zohar and the study of the Ten Sefirot. But it has the writings of the last generation, Shamati, the essays, the letters, you name it. It's all in there. Okay? So, finally, we have the writings of Bala Sulam. And last, but very important, I think. In the last Congress, Oren in Israel, Oren presented a new book that was called A Very Narrow Bridge. And it's a very important book because it talks about the trials and tribulations that Kabbalists experienced throughout the generations, beginning with Abraham, really, from the very beginning. People didn't understand what Kabbalah is and resented it, and Kabbalists always had a hard time explaining themselves. It's a very important book because in many respects, many of us, and actually especially Rav Lightman, go through the same thing of trying to understand something that contradicts everything that the will to receive wants to accept. So people resent it. This book is for us. It's our weapon. It explains exactly not only what is the wisdom of Kabbalah, but it shows how throughout the generations, the greatest Kabbalists had to endure the same difficulties and had a hard time explaining, and it shows us that the fact that we're getting this resistance is only proof that we are on the path of truth. Because no one wants to accept the truth, except those who have a point in the heart. Okay? And that's us. I think it's a very important book because sooner or later, we too will begin to experience all kinds of nasty questions. And we need to have this because this contains all the answers. We will know why we're studying Kabbalah. We will have confidence, and we will know that we are in good company just by being students of Kabbalah. And so I think it's a very important book. And one thing that really impressed me beyond the topic itself is the work that was put into writing it. Just so you know, I had to do it. I wrote down all the names of the people who helped in research to create this book. Oren presented it, and he was the executive editor. But if I'm not mistaken, there are about 30 people who took place in researching and writing this book to present all the material and bring us all the sources so that we know that all the great Kabbalists had their own challenges. And really, if someone tells us that this or that we're doing is wrong, then you should know that the greatest people who ever walked on the face of the earth went through the same thing that we are going through. It should only strengthen us. So this is a very important gift for each and every one of us. Thank you very much.
This is an example for how much one person can do. Truly, from morning till night, for years, years over years, meticulously in keeping the values, the purity of the language, the subtlety of every concept, it's beyond, it's inconceivable. It's a true example for everyone, also for myself.
Come
here.
Rob. Okay, being on the same stage with you, it's excited my ears.
Here, sit down.
Jumped right off the stand.
Oh, computer too. Okay. This you don't need.
Okay, first of all, Rob.
I'm leaving.
No, we wanted to ask you a quick question, maybe to help us make a transition into our next activity. We just had this great lesson on the greatness of the Creator.
I mean, an hour lesson on the greatness of the Creator, we could study for 10 years. But,
Ken.
Yes.
We're wondering if it really is, like, how important is it to act out the greatness? We want to hammer home the importance of acting out the greatness of the Creator amongst the friends.
Because when we start to act, or when we explain to people that you need to act, you need to almost pretend, people are like, it's lying, it feels weird, it feels wrong. This is like the common response we get from our some friends. So we wanted to ask you, why is it so important to act out the greatness of the Creator? How do I pass it to the friends if I don't feel it?
They are touching on an extremely important point. Acting is really one of the most important things. Look at animals, little animals. They also play and act all the time. Kids are constantly playing. If a person wants to attain something, it's through acting, through playing. If he wants to learn something, he has to look at the other person and do actions that correspond to that person, follow the actions of the other person. And this is called acting. Meaning, what is it? What is acting? Acting means that I still don't know how to do something, but I'm trying to. That's what we're doing in the group. We're trying to bring ourselves constantly to the form of Adam, who is similar to the Creator, a more precise form, the correct form, the true form. Therefore, acting, playing is the most important thing. It's extremely serious. It's a shame that later in life we lose this quality and we disregard, look down at playing or acting. Everything has to include playing and acting, and then you reach the correct form. So what are you going to be playing with? Poker? Bridge?
I didn't bring my playing cards, but unfortunately I'm sure you'd lose all of my money. But No. You look for my desires, like they're Swiss cheese, I'm sure. So, but we're going to have some group, make some group actions and exercises about lifting each other above personal states towards the greatness of the Creator, and a little bit about creating jealousy, about the examples of love and connection that friends.
Nachon, Ken,
true. Right, that's what we have to do.
I have
to act towards a friend as that I am already great, that I've attained spirituality, I've done something. He should envy me. Someone can say, is that nice? No, it's all with the intention. If I wish to evoke in him envy, which is something extremely important, extremely powerful force inside a person, that will let him sleep day and night. Just as long as he studies and does something and prays, he wants to invest in the society and everything. Why not? It's good. So we have to evoke this envy in each and every one, and we have to learn how to do it. What else? So I can get off.
We're just so grateful. I know you're very busy. If you want to play, you can stay. But I know you have things to do.
No.
They'll find out that I don't know anything, and I have to learn everything. No. Okay, you'll stay.
Thank you.